so many people are like wasting opportunity because, as I said, the train is passing. Maybe sometimes the train never gonna pass again. Then you will always regret it. So if you don't have any regret, you should try. If you don't try, it never gonna work.
Je luistert naar Heirloom de podcast. Hier delen de chefs van over de hele wereld hun nog niet eerder gehoorde verhalen. We beginnen bij het begin, het harde werken, de offers en natuurlijk momenten van twijfel. Daarna kijken we vooruit. Wat zijn hun dromen en welke inzichten willen ze met jou delen? Welkom, thanks for having us.
My pleasure. Yeah. Thanks to join us.
Yeah, I would say. Amazing. Very nice place. Last time we weren't here, we are sitting now in the Serre.
Yeah, but you know, last time I could not show you everything.
No.
I want to keep a little bit. Otherwise, if I show you everything for the first time, there is no surprise anymore.
No surprises anymore.
So piano.
piano. For the listeners who don't know you, can you tell me what's your name and where do we know you from?
Well, I'm Thomas Demuth from Tannay, small village in Bourgogne, but also is the name of my restaurant in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. I believe we know me a little bit lately because of Heirloom.
Heirloom, yes.
Yeah, we had a beautiful time 2 weeks ago now. Beautiful weekend. I really love it.
Yeah.
To be honest, the energy, people are working there, the mindset, the philosophy. It really match with the mindset of Tannay and with my mindset.
Yeah, how did it work? Did you expect anything from Heirloom or did you go into Blanco?
It was kind of Blanco, you know, because I was not that worried, but they was not worried at all either. So
no, but everybody's relaxed, huh?
Ah, but relaxed, even too real. I thought before to go there, I was like, well, maybe I'm going to have to call Luc or to know what we are doing, if we order the stuff, if yeah. I bring my stuff. And then I was, oh no, just order your stuff, bring your thing, no worries, we'll figure out there. And I was like, ah, porco, that's how we do.
I think it's my weekend is next weekend.
Right. You close your, you close.
I do the closing, so closing. It's like going to be scraps and we're going to make something nice out of it. But it's, I think it's going to be so much fun. Also with the weather, I don't care, man. We're going to have fun, we're going to cook. Mm. And I think that's the whole philosophy about Heirloom. But what was or is your speciality? What is your thing that makes you stand out?
I believe, like I have my type of cuisine.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Let me guess.
Yeah, it's not only it's kind of French, of course, it's French, but it's pretty much like about my childhood memories and my life story, kind of, you know, it's like it can be pretty much like something like I learned to do to make 10 years ago, or like maybe sometime I test something, I don't know, maybe in Spain or whatever, and I was like, this taste always stay in my mind.
Yeah,
so I'm always I have very good memories. So when I test something, it stays there.
Yeah,
it stays there. So I'm very much able to reproduce or to remember what I eat before.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it's like a culinary photographic memory.
Yeah, definitely. And that's
your speciality. You can like recreate a dish that you had long time ago. And put it on the menu.
Yeah, long time ago, exactly. But most of the time it's like from my own path, you know, it's like it comes from my mother, it comes from can be from anything, can be like from a barbecue 10 years ago, or, you know, it's like, it's only about experience and good time.
Can you give me an example? Do you have something on the menu that's like always there, or do you have something?
Always there.
Like maybe a signature thing?
Yeah, we have few signature for sure, but I work pretty much with season. Huh?
Yeah.
So I don't keep like the same dish all year long, that's not possible.
Yeah.
But what we do pretty much like, pretty often, I really like this part of the year because it's very good transition. Now, end of summer and beginning of fall season.
Yeah, we talked about it also in the video.
Yeah.
Now it's the time, huh?
Now it's the time. So what we have basically is the last tomatoes from Provence, which are like we pair it with like kind of a bolognese sauce. It's for years and years, I always wanted to make a bolognese sauce, you know, because it's something I love. I love my favorite dish is the lasagna.
Yeah,
from my mom, you know.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to
and
make.
It's
like,
not French.
No, it's not French, but you know, I believe Italian also do some good stuff. Not as much as the French people, for sure, but they are able to do good thing as well.
What is your greatest passion as a chef? Is it cooking, or is it traveling, or is it?
I do not travel that much, to be honest. I never went away from Europa, so I always stay in Europa.
Okay, yeah.
That's a fair point.
Why? Because you don't get the chance or you don't mind?
No. It's not about chance or whatever. It's just about being busy of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm someone who's never satisfied. So as I'm never satisfied, I'm always looking for better and better and better and better.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm always working harder and trying to make it more efficient. You know, anything we are doing about organization or how to treat a product.
Yeah.
But what I prefer in my role as a chef, entrepreneur, whatever we can call it,
yeah,
is more like I have two things who passionate me, you know. It's like to start from a product, like from a carrot, let's say, wortel.
Yeah.
And then to see what we can do with it.
Yeah.
So this thing is always like, for me, it's very interesting because from something brutal, you get something netto. It's a bit like your salary, you know? When it's brutal, whoa, it's big, and just netto and nothing else.
Yeah.
So this is what I like very much, to see what we can do with product. And my second passion is to share my knowledge. Sharing my knowledge with my people and create a connection with them. That's what I like very much.
Your kitchen team? Right. Do they work for you a long time or is it?
Oh, oui, of a long time. I don't know if I can say long time, but I have like two sous chefs.
Yeah.
C'est sous chef, but they are the chef basically, Matteo and François. François, we are best friends for 15 years. We start to work together 15 years ago.
Yeah.
As a student. So.
But can you still teach them? Or you.
Of course.
Yeah. Because that's.
They also teach me.
That's it. I think that's the basics of working in the kitchen. You have to keep each other going.
That's the thing. Me, I will say, is like, me have the taste.
Yeah.
I have the taste. I know exactly what I want. I know exactly what work. And
yeah.
I have the taste. And then, Matteo, I will say, he has the technique.
Yeah.
Good technique. He's Italian, so it's also, that's why you also have some Italian inspiration sometimes in the menu, because I like him to do something from his own heart, you know, that's very important.
Yeah.
And François is more focused on the warm side and pastry. So we learn from...
Oh, that's also...
It's very important to have also François, because he's able to make anything in the pastry.
Yeah.
So that's very important for us. We are quite complementaire, I will say.
But that's the very close inner circle. So it's you three.
No, I have more people, but those
But is it? Do you see yourself as a chef, as a boss, or as a teacher, or is it altogether?
As a boss, sometimes. Depends if I'm angry or not.
Depends on the day.
Depends on the day. I feel myself as the boss when I have to pay the tax.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah. For sure. When I get this blue letter, I'm the boss.
Those are the best. Huh?
Those are the best.
When did you discover this passion about getting the best and being the best? Was it always in you?
Always in me.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a football player when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like I believe many, many little kid in this world. Obviously, it did not work out. It did not work out. So
did you go far? Did you?
Far, not extremely far, but I don't know how it works in Netherlands. But in France, is like this: so you have the French team, and then in France, we have a 24 area, provincia, you know.
Yeah.
So like Bourgogne, Provence, and then in each provincia, you have four departments.
Yeah.
And me, I was like good for all the department wise. I was good, but for like province, Bourgogne, I was not good enough.
No.
So I didn't make it. Actually.
And was it disappointment? Because you want to be...
No. You know, it was not a disappointment because at that time, I think I didn't have... I think this mindset and this was just growing up slowly.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be a football player, but did I put everything I had in my belly to it? I don't think so.
No.
So I wanted to do something, but I didn't make it 200%.
No, and then...
So you can't be disappointed in that way. If you put everything and you're like, putain, it didn't work, you're disappointed. But if you didn't put enough, it's your own fault. It's not the fault, because you know what? If you don't do it, someone else is going to do it.
They will do it. They pick you. They take it. Yeah, they
did it, those bastards. You know? They did it.
They did it. But when did you start cooking?
I started cooking when I was 14. I started cooking earlier also with my mom, grandma, of course. But it never been a passion. It never been a passion. I can't lie about that. It never been a passion. I wanted to be, after a football player, I wanted to be a real estate.
Yeah.
Because my dad also had like a company in a real estate. And I always saw him with a costume. And I was, oh, why not? Because I didn't like at all the vineyard where we was always working with my twin
so
brother.
So no, the farmer, not no, the no, farmer would, side.
Yeah.
We, like, we because you dress always really well, yeah. So you still, yeah.
But
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like we did not like the vineyard. Although we had the domain, we didn't like it because we had to go there. It was more like you don't have school, you have to work.
Yeah.
So when you are young, you are like, it's a bit annoying, especially when it's cold and you can't go to the football training because you're not efficient enough in the vineyard. So you're yeah. punished, you have to stay the whole day. Enfin,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was not that that nice, but it is what it is, of course. And then one day, I think I was 13 or 14 at the college, we had to do like a stage.
Yeah.
To know a little bit more of what you want to do in your future. And I don't know why, what came to my mind. I was like, why not? I'm going to try some cuisine.
Yeah.
And I went. I liked it very much. I did a second stage. And I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do.
This is what you, and then the sparkle.
Sparkle came. And you know, it was also kind of a challenge because when I was young, I did not eat anything. I was very difficult at eating. So when I said to my parents, and all the friends of my parents heard I wanted to be in the kitchen, they all laughed. They were like, man, no, not you. You don't eat anything. It's not for you. Nanana, nanana. But then I was like, you know what? You say that, I'm gonna show you that I can do it.
That was also a nice...
yeah, it challenged you. Yeah. I think I always like challenge because without spice,
yeah.
without the little sparkle, you don't go anywhere. You need someone always to challenge you. You need to feel the hunger in you, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're too comfort, you don't make it. That's why all the Brazilians are good at football because they come from the streets, they have nothing,
yeah.
and then they make it to the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Because they're angry.
Yeah,
they're hungry.
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 Yeah, they want to have it.
And they want to eat.
Like yeah, and they want to eat, but also they hard work.
Yeah.
Starting in the kitchen, climbing up.
That's the only way. That's
very
only way.
Very, but that's also good because we're talking a little bit about a journey of you as a professional chef. Mm. Right now, your biggest challenge in life as a chef or entrepreneur.
Mm.
What is your biggest challenge now, as a
now,
20
now,
years like, later?
Ah, 20. But I think by I would say something random. It could be like that to get 3 Michelin stars. I think when you, as I say, when I start cooking when I was a student, this was my dream. You know,
yeah.
To have 3 Michelin stars because that's the dream of like I believe many chefs when they're young, and then of course after it's not a simple job.
They don't come for free.
Yeah. They don't come for free, sadly. They don't, no. It's a bit like the money doesn't come for free. So, no, at the moment, ouais, what is important for us to be very much sustainable, to be able to take care of your people, the people who work for you and with you,
yeah.
to make sure they can also live properly with a good salary, good condition of at work.
Yeah.
Strict but fair is what I always say. Very strict but very fair.
They need to want to come back.
They need, yeah, for another day. Exactement. And those days, it's not like 20 years ago, you could beat them and it was working very well. Now you can't beat them anymore. Enfin, less. So
it's a shame.
You can't beat them anymore. So you have to find another way how to challenge your people, right?
Yeah.
It's not only by giving them a big salary. You also have to find a way how to entertain them, I believe.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
that's
because...
It,
our work is also about blood, sweat, and tears. Yeah,
yeah,
we really
sure.
put everything into the work.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
What is the thing about your work that you don't like?
What I don't like?
Yeah. What is there something you don't the least thing you like about the work?
Oh, I would say, but my entrepreneur job is like all the paper.
Paperwork.
Paperwork, because I don't even know how to use a laptop. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Same.
So this is.
I feel really old, but
I mean, I feel like a boomer. I'm 30. I feel like a boomer, but I don't know how to use a laptop, and it's this always a bit annoying for me to do it. So I have to say, I always do it a bit last minute. That's the only way for me to do it.
Yeah.
When I feel the pressure,
yeah.
I do it. Well, if I don't feel the pressure, I'm gonna be like, you know what? I'm not gonna do it.
You have to do it.
Yeah,
just,
you have
just
to do
make
it,
sure that you have some time in the week and do it, but. I can very much relate to it. Like paperwork.
Sure. No, and I have almost no paperwork to do, honestly, because I have a partner also to take care of this account, book order as well.
Yeah.
But the least I have to do is I don't like it.
You don't. That's what you don't like.
What I don't like.
What's the best thing you can do? When are you at your best? Like,
I'm at best during service.
Yeah. Service.
Busy service, during service, you really feel, as I always say, like it's a bit like a ballet in there. You see during the service, people are dancing.
Yeah, it's dancing. It's maybe also like a sporting game. It's like very, very intense.
Yeah, it's intense. And but at the same time, you can feel it smooth, relaxed, and everybody know what they have to do.
Yeah.
And like when you look at them, you're like, those people, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And this is what we like very much, the intensity, but under control.
Yeah.
This is what I like the most.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it was always mise en place. I loved it. And service was always too hectic because I didn't have enough colleagues.
Ah, bah oui, for sure.
That was the worst.
Mise en place, non, mise en place is adapted, but...
That's nice.
I'm more involved in the service than under mise en place.
Ah, oh, man, yeah. What do you think people underestimate about your job? As non-chefs?
I think if people know me, nobody underestimates it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you talk a lot about it, they see you.
I think like people are aware of it now, you know. People are aware of it. Like there is so many, with social media, everybody can feel. Like listen, I'm going to give you a proper example. 10 years ago when I was a student, and I was saying to people who don't know anything about food, or not as us, not 10 years ago, I was not a student, of course. But
time flies.
Ouais, time flies. I'm getting
15
old.
Years ago.
Putain. No, ouais, even, even when I was a student or even not a student, I was saying like, yeah, in the morning, we come at 9. They were like, but what are you doing at 9? The restaurant, I was in France.
It opens at 5.
In France, it's 12. We do lunch.
Yeah, lunch, of course. Ouais. Yeah.
They were like, but what are you doing? I said, you have no idea. We come at 9, but we could even come at 7:30.
Yeah.
What are you doing? How is possible? I don't understand. You cook everything or what is that? I was like, no, but imagine like you have all the vegetables to prep, all the meat to prep, the sauce, the bouillon, which take time. What is beautiful with this job, I will say, is like you have like a chronology every morning. Like you're gonna always start to start your sauce or your bouillon.
Yeah.
Or for your cuisson, and when this is cooking, you can cut and you can do something else. If you start by cutting and after you're going to start to put your bouillon on or your sauce on, you didn't understand anything about the tempo of the day. So yes, this was in the mindset of the people before.
Yeah.
I believe now when everybody I met or I talked to, they all understand the difficulty of the job.
Like you said, does it have to do with social media? Because now you also have the bear, chef films, chefs become rock stars.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are still people who don't understand how Horeca works. They just come, have food.
Yeah, of course.
And they don't give a shit.
I don't blame them.
No.
I don't blame them because me, if I was coming to, I don't know which profession, I would just enjoy and I would be like,
bye-bye.
See you next time.
Yeah.
I pay you, so if you pay, you expect a good service.
Yeah.
In anything you do.
Yeah, for guests, it's just, the word says it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're guests.
Yeah.
They come by, they sit, they want to have an amazing evening. Talk with their family on the table, and then they go, and that has to be it. But they don't have to be rude.
No,
because there's a lot of work in.
I think it's like every work. Let's say we sell artisan. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you know what that means.
Yeah.
Like it can be like a boulanger, pâtissier, winemaker. Can be anything. When you go in the morning to pick up your baguette, and then the baguette is not good. You want a good baguette, right? Because if a good baguette gonna cost the same price as a bad baguette, it's always like this. And then you can't understand how it's possible.
One euro in France.
Yeah, it's 1.10 now.
Yeah, now it's 1.10.
1.10, the inflation, man. Macron is there, no careful. No, it's so you don't understand the work behind. You don't understand the work behind because you don't see it. You don't see this this baker who wake up at 1 a.m. and yeah. 2 o'clock is in the lab in the labo to already cook, prep, bam, bam, bam. No, because you know that the problem is like now on social media, everybody saw all this pastry. Oh, so nice, so beautiful. I want it. I want to do it. I want to do the same. But if you see the other face of the job, is something else.
It's only like the tip of the iceberg.
It's the tip of the iceberg. Exactly. Yeah. It's like for everybody who's successful,
yeah.
People are only talking about the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, this guy is successful. But you know, you have no idea what it brings this man or this woman to that point.
Same. No. If people see me on Instagram or traveling, like I always have my tattoo that says work hard. Mm. Always work hard.
But do you?
I always work hard. No worries. I can show you my agenda. nice. Like which moment in life, if you like go back, is there a person or a place in a restaurant or outside that you like learned something that was like so good that you have like, okay, this is something I have to remind. Like what was one of your biggest lessons in your career?
Like people I met, you mean? Or,
like a chef you worked with or like one like specific lesson. You were like, hey, this for me is so important. I will never forget this lesson.
I will never forget. Yeah, I think there is many, you know, I think like if I have to think a little bit to have like some flashback, let's say, but I believe there is many. But if we are talking about like which person really bring me or like give me the passion, I believe there is few. I had this teacher at school. It was Jean-Marie Lamoureux, which he always believed in me since day one. He opened the door for me to go to a 3 Michelin star. He always, you know, so because of him, I could shape my skill and I could learn in 3 Michelin star because of him. I would say him, and I would say also the dad of François, my sous chef, because I started to work at his hotel restaurant when I was student.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, when I was a student, was always because was the old type,
old
was
school,
old school, beaten. But with me, I have to say, with me, it worked very well because I have the feeling that if I did not get beaten when I was younger, it will not work for me.
It's like army.
Yeah, and you know why it worked very much for me because that's at home, my parents were strict, so it was very strict, fair, but also very strict. So when I went in the kitchen. And they was also extremely strict. And also they beat you and stuff like this. And I was like, it doesn't change anything from my home. So I was very comfortable.
Yeah.
So for me, it worked very much out. I believe those days now it doesn't really work anymore. But for me, it worked.
It can still work for a lot of people. But now they have phones and cameras. And
That's the problem. That's why, you know what I do? I always say to the guy, keep the cell phone in the locker.
Yeah.
No proof.
And don't hit them too hard with spoons.
No, it leaves marks. Only the towel.
with the towel. Yeah, I think we have it. I think we have the wrist still. Yeah, no worries. We have a partner for this season. It's called Tabby. And this is a platform that helps hospitality entrepreneurs to work smarter and more efficiently with their software. We would like to have a recipe for your success. Like, what has been the most valuable learning to work smarter and efficient? What was that? When did you realize you work smart or efficiently?
It took me time.
Yeah.
It took me time because, it took me time. Efficiency, I think I learned this in Netherlands.
In Netherlands?
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah, because in Netherlands it's all about efficiency, right?
It is business
and efficiency, right?
Yeah.
So I believe I learned it pretty much here, and I think I learned it with Alain Caron. The efficiency, and you know, when I was a student, I was in 3 Michelin star, and then after I used to work in 3 Michelin star as well. So you always work for the biggest detail, and you have like many things on the plate. And then when I become a chef in France, I always try to do many techniques to find your way. When I came in Amsterdam, Alain told me, you should less ingredients. Less ingredients, less is more. Less ingredients, deeper flavor, you know, this kind of stuff. I think I learned it here, actually.
Yeah.
To be more efficient and to be like, is what I always say to François and Mathieu, because when we make a new dish, they're always like, let's do a little crisp, nanana, nanana. Me, I'm against this shit. I'm against the pins, I'm against coppercress. or any company would request.
Yeah.
Like all this, like Mall Brother and stuff like this. This is not my style.
No.
I think can be it's beautiful, but does it bring something in the plate?
You have to eliminate.
Yeah, that, you know that
stuff it's that's
good,
not on
it's
there.
It's good if you have 10 guys in the kitchen because this costs you money to buy, costs you money to make, and costs you money because you have to plate it.
It's not efficient.
It's not efficient at all. For me, we say la branlette. Branlette is means when you touch your dick, basically. So yeah, it's true. When you're doing that, it's like doing all these small tuiles, ta 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 na na na. But to have a crisp, it disappears in the mouth immediately. It's better to be focused on a beautiful product.
Yeah.
To source the best product.
Yeah.
If you source the best product and you cook it and you cut it in the right way.
Yeah.
Trust me, this is enough.
So that's basically the whole thing about Burgundy cooking, Italian
exactly.
cooking.
Exactly. No
and
bullshit.
Not haute cuisine on a level that takes 10 people to make.
Yeah, exactly. But if you look at it a little bit more. It used to be before like a lot of stuff like this, a lot of ingredients. But
it's old school.
Old school, and now they also work with a lot of small tools. But if you look deeper, the best is like when you can recognize the ingredient in the plate.
For me, yeah.
If you can recognize the ingredient in the plate, it talks to everybody.
Yeah, I'm last like last years, I'm getting very. Focus on Spanish cuisine.
Mm. You look a bit Spanish, actually.
Ah, gracias. I could be Spanish, but it's for what I really like going to Basque country and see what they do with produce.
Yeah,
and leave nothing out. But I think it's also Japanese kitchen, yeah. Italian.
You use everything.
But perfectly.
A product have two life.
Yeah.
A product have two life. You make a bouillon, out of the bouillon you make something else and bam.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you make a staff dinner.
That's very efficient.
Ah, but efficiency, man. You have no idea for the food cost how it is good. Listen to me, guys.
Oh, that's good. We're going to talk a little bit more about passing on this dream because there's a lot of young chefs listening,
mm-hmm.
I hope. But
I hope so.
Yeah,
too,
because we want to make this also like for chefs or young cooks. Mm-hmm. What is your biggest dream right now, if you can have your point on the horizon and say, I really want this.
My dream is always to be someone. Because I think we are like how many billion of people on this earth? We are so many billion of people on this earth. 3 or 7?
No, 8, I think already.
8 million. Eight billion.
Something. Yeah.
That's a lot. So I always be, since I'm young, I always be like, I don't want to be like everyone.
No.
I want to be someone different.
Yeah.
And that someone I will be remembered of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do.
You want to make a difference.
I want to make a difference and I want to show people that to the world that we can do something. I can do something proper out of my hand. And what I would love, of course, is to leave behind me like this passion and to remember that this chef was doing that. And even 30 years later, he's still working.
Yeah.
30 years later, we can do his recipe. He's still working. He's still... this is what I want to live when I will be away.
Yeah. Is that something that comes out of the, like, classic French haute cuisine?
I think it comes from classic...
Signature dishes.
Yeah, but it comes also from a kind of like... lesson of life.
Yeah.
Also, you know, is how you cook, of course, but if you're cooking very well, but you don't behave that well,
yeah.
You know what people remember of you? Yeah, didn't behave very well, you know?
Yeah.
We always remember the end result. It's like in 2006, the final of World Cup.
Yeah.
We remember that the France gets stolen from Italy. We don't remember that. We remember that Italy wins the World Cup. Eh ouais, because of Marco Materazzi. You know what I mean? So you can work as much as you want.
Yeah.
The final result has to be on point. If it's not, it doesn't work.
So that's also my second question. Like, you want to pass your knowledge, your vibe onto other people and... buy a dish or buy a recipe.
Yeah, but
it can also be...
You know, I have to say it could be by dish, by recipe, but also by knowledge. And
yeah,
by
yeah,
teaching,
like you, like teaching.
Teaching and also like being maybe like a create foundation or academy.
Yeah.
This is where I want to go.
Yeah.
And I believe when you reach a certain level, can be Michelin star or not, but I believe Michelin star is always more simple to do it because people believe more in you and what you're doing, definitely. in that way, your name will stay there, and they will always remember your style.
Yeah,
your style. But I do, to be honest, I do want just myself. I'm not sure, like, if I want to have kids and to leave this to the kids. I'm like, in this world, I don't really see myself to have kids.
No,
because no, it doesn't match. By my own opinion, everybody has his own opinion for sure, but it doesn't really match. And I believe I want to keep my own style.
Yeah,
I don't want to sell my style for anything.
Yeah, but also pass it on to somebody who doesn't maybe want to do it. Or
yeah, exactement. Yeah. You're gonna leave someone like yeah, I don't want to do it, and maybe you're gonna fuck it up.
It's so it's too old. Like you
I
people used
to be. Yeah. I prefer to be selfish.
Like yeah, but you do you. You know.
Yeah, you do you. For sure.
And if you like 100 years ago. When you had a farm, you need kids to help with the farm. Very cheap labor.
Yeah, and you
but now it doesn't work anymore.
And you know what? My twin brother have 3 kids.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you have something, it will go to them. I'm very happy for that.
Yeah, that's very nice. Last question, basically, because I think we're very, very good on time. Yeah. If there is one feeling or thought in your head, you wanna pass it down, like a life lesson. Mm-hmm. One lesson for the young generation. What would it be?
I think two things. One lesson, I believe, is like the train is passing one time. So or you step in or you don't step in. That's a big lesson, I have to say.
But do you have to... Is it a feeling? Like a gut feeling?
Yeah, it's a feeling. That's a feeling that...
So no regrets.
It's a feeling of opportunity. I believe like so many people are like... wasting opportunity because, as I said, the train is passing, and you don't have maybe, let's say, the balls, or you're like, no, it's not gonna work, and you're not gonna step in the train. But maybe sometimes the train never gonna pass again. Then you will always regret it.
Yeah.
So if you don't have any regret, you should try. If you don't try, it's never gonna work.
Yeah.
Right.
I have nothing else to say about it because I feel like that 100%.
Never give up. Never give up on your dream and dream big, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because you have to challenge yourself a lot. I think you always have to challenge yourself way higher than where you want to go. You know, that's the thing. Because if you want to reach one star, you should be like, okay, I want 3 stars. Then you are sure you're going to make 1 star.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to see farther.
Shoot high.
Yeah, like a sniper.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I don't have anything.
I am. Cheers to that. With water.
With water. Sorry, we're going to have some wine later.
Mm.
Yeah, Thomas. Merci.
Bah de rien.
Ah, amazing. Ho, wacht even. Mag ik nog een klein minuutje van je? Je kan ons namelijk helpen door Heirloom te volgen op je favoriete podcast-app en YouTube. Oh ja, en deel ons dan gelijk even via Instagram. Thanks voor het luisteren naar de Heirloom podcast. Dit eerste seizoen is mede mogelijk gemaakt door onze partners Tabby en Botan.